chapter 5, sorry, chapter 6. If you haven't got a Bible and you'd like one, please let the ushers know and I'll provide you with one so you can follow and go along. Last week we were looking at the beginning of 2006. This is our second Sunday in 2006. And we're thinking of a to-do list of what we should be thinking about doing into 2006. And right at the beginning of the service, right at the beginning of the sermon last week, I was explaining that as a room, as a group of people, we were separated into two types of people, two groups of people. Those that know the Lord as their Savior and those that don't. And we're thinking for those that don't know God as their Savior, that don't have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The priority on your to-do list was to get right with God before it was too late. And then for those that are right with God, those of you that are Christians, those of you that are true believers, those of you that know God and have a relationship with Him through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have three things that we were challenged to do in 2016. Well, in fact, for all of our lives, but just looking forward to 2016 as we were then, we were realizing that from God's word, from that passage we're looking at, we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We were not to be conformed to this world, but we were to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so as we were going through last week's sermon, we were probably thinking, actually, what we've got here is something a bit like Mission Impossible. How can we present our bodies as living sacrifices? How can we not be conformed to this world when this world is so much around and about us? How can we be transformed by the renewing of our mind? Those of you that were with us on Thursday evening, we spoke about this a bit more, we discussed it a little bit, and we're thinking of how we can be conformed to this world. And we're thinking of those things that are challenges for you, especially as young students here in Cyprus. And we were establishing a list of things that is out there to conform you. And there's a whole sort of peer pressure. There's this whole desire to be liked, to be well known, to be popular, to have lots of friends on your Facebook status, to have lots of likes on your comments. And then to get lots of likes and to have that sort of, you have to sort of feed yourself and conform yourself into what people like and what people want. Fashion and clothing conforms us. But then there was some other areas that were sort of more subtle and more wicked, but they can get there. And some of the students that we can conform to the world and start cheating in our exams. You might be doing your exams now, and that might be a very real temptation for you. You want to get good grades, and the person next to you is going to get them, and you can just... You're not to conform, and those temptations are all about you. It was strange this week, just myself personally, from my own personal experience. On Thursday evening, we were talking about the whole danger of conforming the world and getting sucked up into betting, gambling. And there's so much temptation of it. And there was talk, and I was hearing earlier in the week about how some students have blown lots of their money on gambling and being pulled into it. Just this week in the UK, the National Lottery, the big lottery for gambling in the UK, reached a record jackpot. I think it was £61 million was the potential prize. Now, somehow, in my mind, I got the notion that I should enter that. You laugh, but this compelling thought came to me. That's what God wants me to do. And I had a vision of a fantastic church building. And then I thought to myself, God would not want me to do something that's against his word. That can't be God's thing. But this thought just kept coming back. Why was this thought coming? Where was this coming from? It just kept coming back. And I wrote three numbers down. That's how sincere this thought was to me. 16, 18, 32. And I thought, well, God's given me these numbers. And I thought, absolute rubbish. This is not how God works. This is not prescribed in his Bible. And I forgot about it, and I thank God. And this morning, as I was putting the finishing touches to my sermon, I saw a piece of paper over there, 16, 18, and 32. And I thought, right, if that was God's will, let's see. Because it was done last night. Devil, even on that. It was the devil. The devil tempting me to conform to the world. Pastors get tempted. You get tempted. We get tempted to conform to the world. And we're in this situation to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, not to be conformed, to be transformed. And we think, how do we do this? It's like Mission Impossible. How can we get on with this? Well, God willing, for the next two Sundays before the student seminars, I'll be doing a couple sermons to help us in this. And then after that, we'll go on to a different series, God willing. Now, over this holiday period, I watched a film that was based on a true story. And it was about some special forces operatives. Have you heard of the SAS? Special forces, elite forces. You've got your normal army, and then you've got the guys that are like the best of the best, highly trained, highly mentally focused on their job. And what the special forces operatives were to do were to rescue some hostages from some terrorists that were holding them in Pakistan. And at the start of this film, you see these operatives come together. There's a small tent, I think it was, in the field. And there was about eight or nine of them. And there was sort of a high-ranking chap. And there was a techie guy who was briefing them and telling them about the operation. And they're showing them the maps and showing them the whole sort of information of where the hostages were being held and where the enemy positions were and what type of weapons they had and what type of communications they had. And all the information was being given to them. And essentially, it was this information that was given to them that meant the mission was a success. It's because of that advantage of knowing the situation, knowing the enemy, knowing how the enemy would work. There was a chap, and he was a local, and he was explaining sort of what tactics they would operate under. And it was all being explained. Now, intelligence and reconnaissance is vital in war. And often it's the army, it's the nation, it's the side that has the better intelligence and the better reconnaissance is the one that wins. When you go into a conflict situation, there's three key things that need evaluating. The context and the nature of the battle. Who it is you're fighting, where you're fighting them. And then you look at the enemy and look at their strengths and their weaknesses. Where are their strengths? Where are their weak points? How can we make the most of the weak points? How can we damage the strength? And then you look at your own resources, resources for defense, resources for attack. How can you have the victory? So you look at the battle, where it could be, what it is, you look at the enemy, and then you look at yourself to find your resources and how you can get on with it. You're really thinking, well, this is all fine. How does this apply to us? Why are we talking about war? Well, those of you that are believers, you're at war. There's a battle going on because the devil does not want you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. The devil does not want you to serve the Lord. The devil wants you to be conformed to to this world. The devil doesn't want you to be transformed. He doesn't want your minds to be renewed. He wants you to be destroyed. He doesn't want you to enjoy the knowledge and the joy of your salvation. There's a battle going on. There is a very, very real battle going on. And those of you that have been Christians for some time, you'll know it. You've been battle scarred. You've been through temptations. You've been through trials. You've been through difficulties. You know what it is like. And that's why we come to these verses. And today I'll be looking at the first three verses that we read from verse 10 to 13 in chapter 6 of Ephesians. And then next week we'll be looking at the rest of the chapter. So we're looking at the armor next week particularly, and this week we'll be looking at the battle. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, or be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. So firstly, I want us to think about this battle that's going on, and to realize that there is a battleground. What is the battleground? Where is this battle happening? And the battle is happening in several places, but the first one that I want to bring to our minds here from these verses is we're told in verse 12 that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers of this present age, against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly places. In the heavenly places. Well, Christ has delivered a death blow to the powers of darkness, but they're not fully destroyed. They will be, but they're not at the moment. They're rampant. They're running around. These principalities, these authorities, are causing havoc. The devil did not win when he oversaw the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if this is right to imagine this, but I kind of do, that you can imagine that the devil thinking, yes, I've done it. I've got rid of Jesus. I've got rid of God's Son. I've killed him. I've done it. And 3 days later, he realizes he hasn't done. And he realizes that what he has actually done and what has been done is the fact that Jesus has broken the power of death. Jesus has broken the power of sin. Jesus became sin, and in becoming sin, the price was paid. So people who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that you and I can be made right with God. And this was happening essentially in heavenly places. This was going on there. But earlier on in Ephesians in chapter 3, it's talking about Christ who's blessed us. So in chapter 1, verse 3, Christ has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You see, although we are alive and living in this world, we are called as Christians to heavenly places. The Lord Jesus Christ is now at the right hand of God. And in verse chapter 2 and verse 6, it tells us that he raised us up with him and seats us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, we're not there yet, because we're sat here in Lefkosia, in Cyprus. And although the marketing people say that Cyprus is a corner of the world touched by heaven, it isn't heaven. You're not there. We see the effects of sin around us, don't we? We see the pain of life around about us. But yet we're reminded here, and we're reminded here in Ephesians, that we've been saved and we've got given heavenly blessings, and we are going to be with him in a heavenly place. And he's talking here emphatically. It's not maybe. The hope that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ will happen. And so this cosmic battle has raged and is raging, and the devil hates the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven by the right hand of God, and it's like him being in a castle, and the devil can't touch Jesus directly. So what does he do? He touches you. He hurts you. War is a savage and wicked thing. And when I look at war and hear of war, I just can't understand how mankind can be so depraved. And you hear of some of the tactics of war that are happening right now. And the menfolk are fighting the enemy. And they're safe in their mountainside. Their mountainside is defended. The enemy can't get at them. They're safe there in their caves and in their strongholds. Their machine gun points are really good. No one can get to them. So what do the enemy do? They go and kill the wives and the children. Do you see that? And so the men that are there defending that mountainside hear the news of what's happening. And it hurts them. And it grieves them. And it demoralizes them. And it upsets them. And the devil is adopting the same tactic. He is wanting to cause the Lord Jesus Christ pain through you. By fighting you. By attacking you. By causing you pain, by causing you difficulty. And the battle is going on. The devil cannot directly attack Jesus in his person or in his being, but he's attacking him by attacking his people, by attacking his church. In 1 Peter, in chapter 5 and verse 8, it tells us to be sober-minded, to be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. You saw that dog earlier, didn't you, with the Alsatian with the great teeth? Well, the dog was like a pussycat in comparison to a roaring lion. I mean, a lion, and there's that picture. And it's a lion that's seeking someone to devour. The devil is battling against Jesus, but Jesus' people are those who he's taking the battle to. It's not like we're being caught in the crossfire between the devil and Jesus. We are there, and the devil wants to hurt us because he knows that will hurt Jesus. He doesn't want us to be united to him. He doesn't want us to continue in the faith. He doesn't want us to stand firm. He's happy if someone makes a profession and then backtracks on it. He's happy and delighted when a Christian fails miserably and sins, because that hurts God. That hurts the Lord Jesus. And there's that battle going on in that sense. And so the battle is happening in heavenly places. And the attack is there, and it's real, and it's affecting everything that's going on around about us. We also realize that there's an everyday element to this. Verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places, against this present darkness. We're living in present darkness, aren't we? The advertisers say that North Cyprus is a corner of the world touched by heaven. It's also touched by casinos. It's touched by nightclubs. It's touched by betting offices. It's touched by Yahoo students. It's touched by people driving too fast. It's touched by greed. It's full of sin and darkness. And it's where you and I live. And our ordinary, everyday routines of life are under attack. The passage here is built up from the finally, What went before that finally in verse 10? Well, slaves and masters, and before that, children and parents, and before that, husbands and wives. And the present darkness and the temptation and the context of our battle is in our everyday situations. Husbands and wives. Right at the very, very beginning, the devil got in and got in between Adam and Eve. And ever since then, that's been happening. And Maxim, you are standing at the beginning of the whole wonder of marriage. And it's not going to be a walk in the park. There'll be a battleground against the devil, I trust, and not each other. But the devil will want you to battle against each other. The devil does not want Christian marriages to stand. And he'll fight them. And he'll niggle at them. And your everyday is the battleground. Children and parents. Workers and employers, students and lecturers, every day it's happening. Every situation you'll find yourself in, the devil is at work. And often it's not a big thing. Just a little bit of lust can pull you away. Just a fraction of hate can cause a division in a church. Just a dash of dissatisfaction will make you want to do the lottery. Some conceit to make you feel proud. And our everyday situation is the battleground. Every day. Every day. Have any of you had dreams at night? And you thought, how could I dream such filth? Have you ever woken up in the night sweating fear of what you've done? The battle isn't just when you're awake. The devil is active 24/7. And he doesn't want you to enjoy your relationship with God. And he wants to put anything in the way. The everyday can be the fact that your studies become greater than God himself. Your family becomes greater than God. Your hobby becomes greater than God. Your football team becomes greater than God. Suddenly you realize that you are an idolater worshipping an idol rather than God. The devil is subtle. The devil is active. And the devil is in the everyday. And we should fear the darkness. But so often we don't. And so often we start living like it, and we become conformed to it. So there's this spiritual level of the battle going on around us, and we're caught up in it in the everyday. But also there's a third battleground, the evil day, or the day of evil. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. There are days and situations where there are particular attacks. There's the everyday mundane resisting temptation. But there are times when things happen in your lives, in your situation, where it's just an intense time of trial or difficulty or attack. Happened to the Lord Jesus Christ on many occasions, and some of those are recorded for us in the Gospels. When Jesus was in the desert, the wilderness, and the devil came and attacked him particularly. 24/7, every day of the week, the devil was trying to get him, but there was that intense time. And there was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was there begging on his knees for help and to be able to get through it and for that cup to be taken away from him. And he was there under particular intense attack. And obviously when he was on the cross and the whole situation was going on there. And we need to remember that we can have particular seasons of attack and particular seasons of trials and difficulties. We can be tempted, and the temptation can keep coming at us. Or we can have a besetting sin, something that we know that is there, and some days it's not a problem, suddenly it rears its ugly head and bites us. Or maybe it's an illness. Or maybe there's a difficulty there in your situation. Or maybe you're getting to that point where you just think nothing can get any worse. And then some more news comes to make the other news seem like a happy day, and it gets worse. And these things can happen. And this is how the enemy works. This is where the battleground is. The battleground is at a spiritual, cosmic level, if you like. The battleground is in the everyday, and some days, and sometimes, and some seasons can be worse. So that's the battleground. What about the enemy? Who is the enemy? What is the enemy? Verse 11 says, to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The devil is the enemy. Who knows what the devil looks like? Well, some of you might suddenly think in your mind's eye of a little chappy, or might be quite big, but a few little horns. Possibly a little bit of a snake's tongue. I don't know what your culture has. A trident stick to prod people with. Red tights. Or is that medieval? I don't know. Medieval England had a little devil in red tights. I couldn't work that one out. Didn't look very scary to me. But cartoons and comics nowadays, and any of you watch Bart Simpson and The Simpsons? Well, don't shout too loud. But have you ever seen how the devil's portrayed there? Quite a little jerky fellow, isn't he? Stands on the shoulder. Oh, Bart, do this. Oh, Bart, do that. It's a bit of a joke. It's a bit of a laugh. Gets Bart to get up to mischief. Who's the devil? He's a bit of fun. Don't worry about him. And that's what the devil wants. He wants you to think that he's a bit of a joke. But he's not. Friends, the devil has supernatural power. The devil has supernatural power, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You are wrestling, you are fighting against something that is not human. It's supernatural. Now, I could fancy my chances against most of you here. That's quite an audacious thing to say, isn't it? But physically, I think I'm in fairly good shape. I'm taller than most of you. I'm heavier than most of you. And I used to box as well. It's arrogantness, but... way beyond my station. It's not going to happen. But you can't physically hit the devil. He's not there to punch. He's not there to shout at. He is a supernatural being. And because he's supernatural, and because he has powers, and he does have powers, the devil is more powerful than you or me. And that's a basis we have to start from. Because if you think that you can handle the devil, if you think that you can sort him out, if you think you can have a good fight with him and come out top, you've got a problem because you can't by yourself. The devil has got supernatural powers and you haven't. You're a human. And the devil has supernatural powers. And just a little point on the side here. We are fighting, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. And sadly, so often Christians fight flesh and blood. Christians are at war with other Christians, other religions. Christians are at war with the environment, the evolutionary scientists. They're at war with the adulterers. They're at war with the gays. They're at war with the homosexuals. They're at war with the pop stars. They're at war with the celebrities. They're at war with the abortion clinics. They're at war with alcohol. They're at war with gambling. And the devil is laughing. Because we're not fighting flesh and blood. We should be fighting the devil. And the devil loves it when we're fighting the wrong thing. What's the best way to win a war? Get the enemy to fight the wrong thing. The British Army at one stage had a platoon of inflatable tanks. Yeah? Tanks that they used to blow up. Not literally. They used to inflate. And then they would set them up and not put the camouflage on quite properly. And then the enemy aeroplanes would come and bomb these, and the guys around the corner would giggle. They're blowing up the wrong thing. They're fighting the wrong thing. They're not even fighting, they're fighting the inflatable tanks. The devil wants us to fight the wrong thing. The devil wants us to fight each other. The devil, but we're not against flesh and blood. We have to stand firm, and we have to remember this. The devil said, and Jesus, God was talking to, sorry, Jesus was talking to Simon Peter. In Luke 2, it's recorded, Luke chapter 22, it's recorded at verse 31. And he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like. That's how real it is. That's what the devil wants to do to God's people. He wants to sift them like wheat. Have you ever seen wheat sifted? Have you ever been in Cyprus and you've seen the wooden boards with lots of bits of flint in them? Yeah? You may have seen this back home, but you certainly might have seen in Cyprus around the antiquities. And they were dragged across the corn to sift it, to break the corn down, to get the chaff away. And that's the picture language that's being used here. The devil wants to trample you. He wants to sift you. He wants to shatter you. He wants to break you. And he has this, and he can do this with his supernatural powers. We're told in the passage that he's not flesh and blood. We wrestle against rulers. We wrestle against authorities, against cosmic powers in this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. The devil is powerful. Maybe you're thinking, now, this isn't very encouraging intel. I don't really like this intelligence. We've been told here that we're human, and we're told we're up against someone that's supernatural and someone is powerful. It's like that group of special forces I was talking about, and they were there in their operations room, and then they were talking about the militia, and there's about 8 of them to go there, and there's 250 in the militia, and they were heavily armed, and they were well trained, and they had modern equipment, and they had a high-tech impenetrable compound and satellite situation, and then they were looking around and they're thinking, this isn't very good. And brothers and sisters, you are fighting against cosmic forces. Now, I was a little arrogant earlier to say that I probably can have a good fight with most of you here, yeah? But imagine if we had Mike Tyson in our congregation. Would I be so willing to make such a bold assertion with such a great fighter like that? And this is where we're at. We've got this huge enemy, cosmic powers. What about being attacked by spiritual forces? Some of you can't get out of bed in the morning. Never mind take a full attack by a spiritual force. And this is what we're being told. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour you. And he's powerful enough to. And he has the power. He's supernatural. He can do these things. And then other times, he's sort of subtle and hidden. His supernatural powers is something like this. You can imagine that war situation. And perhaps you're there and you've got a bolt-action rifle. Oh, we'll give you an upgrade. We've got an AK-47. Yeah? A magazine of 25 rounds. And then you see the Apache helicopter coming in. Yeah? The big American gunship with some sidewinders. It's laughable, isn't it? And that's sometimes where the devil comes at you. It's this great big Apache helicopter, and the sidewinders are roaring at you, and you're standing there, what are we going to do? Or alternatively, you're there, and you think everything's fine, and you just hear that, boom. The next thing you have a bullet at the back of your head. And the sniper's got you. Some of these snipers are killing people from a mile and a half, 2 miles. They're hidden. Just, don't even hear it. If you did hear it, you'd be dead. Because the bullet's trying to travel. And that's how the devil's like. He disguises himself as an angel of light. In some of the pulpits around the world, there are angels of light preaching lies. And the congregations are sucking it in, and the devil is taking them to hell. You it's like that sniper book. He battles you in your mind. He tempts you in your weaknesses. He brings pride thoughts to those that are pride. He brings fear with those that have anxiety issues. He has addiction for those who have self-control issues. He has done his research on you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows the buttons to press. He knows how to make you fall and fail. He is far cleverer than you. He's more powerful than you. And you know what? He's got a plan. He's got a plan. He's organized strategies of destruction. It says there in verse 11, we're able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The devil is scheming, and he's working out, how can I get him to fail? Oh, likes the ladies. Result. That's where the weakness is. How can I get her to fail? Oh, she likes money. Great. That's where the weakness is. That's what I'll go for. How will I get him to fail? Oh, he likes what people say. Great. That's where I'll go. He's done the intel. He knows what to do. He will get at you. And he's got lots of schemes on a personal level, but he's got schemes on a larger level. He's attacking God's word. He's making people think that it's not reliable. He's attacking the nature and the character of God. He's trying to tell us that God isn't righteous and is not totally dependable. He's trying to tell the lie that there is no enjoyment in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the joy of your salvation is not something to be had, but the joy of the world is what it's all about. I go back to Bart Simpson. How do the Christians there be portrayed? Would you want to be the Christian character in the soap opera? The limp vicar who everyone laughs at. The strange family that do weird things. And the devil is sowing this and is organized and the battle lines are drawn and the enemy is heinous and wily and strong. And who are you to fight him? Who are you to fight him? You know, I go back to that film that I watched in the holidays, and I started watching it, and the special forces were being briefed there, and they were being shown how impossible the task was, and they were being told of how powerful these people were. They were told there were booby traps around and about. They were told about the weaponry they had to look out for. And why did I carry on watching? Why did I not say, this is ridiculous? I'm not going to bother watching this. I carried on watching because I knew they were on the right side. I knew they were not going to lose because they were the good guys. Like I said earlier, the information was essential to help them have the success. Let me give you the information that will make your mission a success. You need to realize the power of the enemy. You need to realize the power of the enemy so you'll take the battle seriously. And so that you will take this seriously. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his strength and in his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Those schemes that I spoke about, like the sidewinder on that Apache helicopter coming in to destroy everything in its wake. You can stand in the face of that in the Lord. Not in yourself. Not in yourself. There's two things here, isn't there? Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might and put on the whole armor of God. We'll be talking about the whole armor of God next week. But I just want us now to think about this thought of being strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. You've been briefed this morning And in some small way, you've seen the devil as that roaring lion. In some way, you've realized that you are nothing when you are fighting against cosmic powers. In some way, I trust you realize that you are fearful of the devil and his wily ways. And you may be thinking, how can I carry on? And you can carry on because you are on the right side. In the analogy of the film, you are the good guys because the Lord Jesus Christ has made you good. You can resist the devil, and he will flee from you, as the children were told in their children's talk. Not because of what you have ever done or ever could do, but because you are in his strength and in his might. Who married the devil? The devil, through the wickedness of his own mind, made himself wicked. God didn't make the devil wicked. The devil went off and did his wickedness. But God made him. Who is stronger, the creator or the creator? The devil is limited. The devil may look like that dog with his vicious teeth, but it's on a chain. And he can't go a millimeter further than that chain will allow him. He cannot destroy you, but you have to stand firm in the Lord and in the strength of his might. You are in a war. You are in a battle. It will be hard and it will be tough and it will be difficult. And there are no shortcuts in soldiering. But through 2016 and for the rest of your life, as God spares you, I can promise you that you can be strong in the Lord. And the Lord will not fail his people. We read that passage in Romans, didn't we? And we're thinking of those things that can get in the way. And right at the end of Romans in chapter 8, we have those verses that just lift us up and take us to where we should be. No, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. We can be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might because he loved us. And he demonstrated his love to us that before time began, he worked the plan of salvation for us. And he sent his only son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this world, not to be beaten up and vanquished by the devil, but to beat the devil and to vanquish over him. The prophecy of old said that his heel would be bruised and the serpent's head would be crushed. And it was because of God's love he sent his son so that serpent's head could be crushed, so the devil could be beaten, and so we can be strong in the Lord. And as Paul goes on in Romans, after he's told him that we are more than conquerors with him who loved us, he says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." How can you be a living sacrifice? Because of the love of God in Christ Jesus. How can you not conform to this world? Because of the love of God in Christ Jesus. How can you be transformed by the renewing of your mind? In the love of God through Christ Jesus. Is the devil real? Yes, he is. Will the devil give you problems? Yes, he will. Will you be able to stand firm by yourself? Not a chance. But be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, and you will stand firm. And you will stand firm. We don't need to be afraid as we go into 2016. if we're standing firm in the Lord. If we're going by ourselves and we're going solo, then be afraid. But we can go in faith, strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And next week we'll look practically at the armour of God and how we can apply that in our lives and standing firm and being strong. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to just give you a moment or two to think on that, to think on the operation intel that you've been given, think about your own situation, and first you need to establish yourself, whose side are you on? Are you on the Lord's side? Is the devil your enemy? Or is the devil your boss? Where are you there? And if you are on the Lord's side, ask the Lord to show you where the battleground is for you, where the areas of weakness are, where the areas of challenge are, where the devil is trying to get in. And if you have failed and if you have sinned, ask God to forgive you. He's faithful and just to forgive all unrighteousness. And as you see these things and as you see the power of the devil, pray that the Lord will show you his love. And pray that the Lord will show you his strength and his might. And ask him to help you to be strong in the Lord. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my death to me. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here, in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Oh Lord God, as we conclude our service together and as we come together and sing this hymn 16, may it be our prayer. May our hope be in Christ alone. May we be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Protect us from the evil one. Keep us from all the powers of darkness. As the schemes of the evil one come around us and the darkness folds in around us, may we not fail and fold in our own, but may we be strong in the Lord. O Lord God, help us as we go forward. Be with us as we go forward. And may we go forward in Christ alone. Amen.
Amen.
Let's continue in response in singing hymn number 16.